Let me tell you what's on my heart tonight. It is a little different, but I believe it's the Lord. So go to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. This is our text verse. We will look at some other scriptures along the way. But here's what I want to talk to you about. I want to talk about how God defeated death. How did God defeat death? Now let me read a scripture. You know it well, but in Hebrews 9:27, and this is the New King James, "And as it is appointed for men to die once, after this the judgment." Now that means all of us have an appointment. Save the coming of the Lord, you have an appointment. So, well, I don't like to think about it. It doesn't matter. The appointment will come. Now, you don't know the day nor the hour unless you get a divine word. But the fact is, because of what's happened, this scripture, after the fall, said something to us. All humanity has an appointment with death. You're going to die. So am I. But what does that mean? And how has God defeated death? So let's talk about it. So here's my first point. Go over to Genesis. As you would know, the second chapter of Genesis, I will just refer to it. In Genesis 2, this is the introduction to death. Now, how many of you know there was a time on planet Earth that nobody died? I mean, come on now. How many of you know that God's intent for Adam and Eve was to live forever? They were built and created for eternity. So death had no jurisdiction in America and around the world. Nobody died. Of course, it wasn't about Adam and Eve. But death was not loosed on planet Earth. And so here's God's intent for Adam, because he became an immortal being until death came. So, in verse 16 and 17 of Genesis, you know it well, "And the Lord commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden you may eat freely, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat of it, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." That was a mandate from God. Now notice what he said. Not only will you die, you'll be judged after you die. Now, so Adam did what God told him not to do. So when Adam sinned and his wife and disobeyed God, then death was released on planet Earth. Now, upon Adam and all of those born after Adam, there is an appointment. It's called death. That's the reason we have insurance. I don't know about you, but I've been writing this down. After sin, death would become our enemy. It says in 1 Corinthians 15 that death is our enemy. When you were conceived in your mother's womb, death got over your trail. And death dogged you, if you will, till the day that you breathed your last. Death is not your friend. Death is an enemy. But I got some good news. He's a defeated enemy. Death is defeated. But when Adam sinned, he invited death. And so from Adam, all die. So in the garden, when sin came, death became our enemy. 1 Corinthians 15, 26. Now, you can turn the page in your Bible. Genesis chapter 3, verse 4. So in the garden, the devil and Eve got in a conversation. There's one thing you never want to do with the devil: carry on a conversation. He's smarter than you are. Without Jesus, he'll talk you into it. And so that's what they're conversing. And so what's the first thing he does in Genesis 3? What's the first thing he does? He calls God a liar. Did God really say this? And so he now has projected into the thinking, and she's never heard this before, a lie. Did God really say this? Did he really mean that you're going to die? Well, she misquoted. She said, he told us not to eat of it nor touch it. God didn't say not touch it. He said, don't eat of it. And you know what happened? Here comes Adam, and they sit down and eat of the forbidden fruit. And when they do, death is now upon all mankind. Now, in verses 6 and 7, I want to lay the foundation here. In verse 6 and 7, it says, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, then she took of its fruit, and she ate, and gave it to her husband, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew they were naked. Now death is released on planet Earth. That's how all of this started. It came out of the Garden of Eden. Now, let's talk about the second thing. When death came in Eden, it didn't come like just physical death. What happened in the garden is a threefold death sentence that came to all mankind. I'm going to give them to you and I'm going to talk about it. When the Bible says you shall surely die, there were three levels of death that God was referring to. First of all, spiritual death. He died, Adam had died spiritually because now sin has come. Now, the other one is physical death. We know that one. We're acquainted with that one. The other one is eternal death. So spiritual death, physical death, eternal death. So the Redeemer that's coming, it's already in the works. He's going to come and restore what Adam lost, but he's going to have to restore it threefold. He'll have to restore mankind spiritually, physically, and eternally. So let's look at it. Spiritual death in 3 and 7. He knew that he was naked. Now, from Adam on, Paul talks about it a lot. Adam on, every man born after Adam, you were born spiritually dead. And I'll give you a scripture, and I can give you a number of them. In Ephesians 2 and 1, you were dead. But these folks weren't dead. They're walking around. But they are dead. Spiritually dead. You and I were not born saved. We were born under the blood until the day of accountability. But we were not born saved or born again. We were born spiritually dead. We were disconnected from a relationship with God. Everybody, I've had people say to me, I've been a Christian all my life. Well, I don't argue with them, but I know that's not true. Nobody's been a Christian all their life. Now, they may not have had a dramatic experience like Paul or something, but none of us have been saved all of our life. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Hallelujah. That's what we were, but that's what we are. So, spiritually speaking, we are now living under that mandate of spiritual death, Colossians 2:13, and he goes on, Paul talks about it. Well, what about the physical death? And I'll get to what Jesus did for us. What about physical death? Well, we know that. Adam, do you know how long Adam lived? He would have broke Social Security. Adam lived 930 years after he sinned. But he died. There was a time that Adam died. You understand that? It is appointed unto men. If you don't believe it, walk through the cemetery and check the ages. They're not all old, but they're dead. Never seen a fight break out in the cemetery. Why? They're dead. Don't do that. And so now, it is appointed unto man once to die. So we now are living under the mandate of our bodies. And when I look out there at you, you beautiful people, I don't see you. Have you never gone to the funeral home and I'll just make up a name. You go to the funeral home and some friends of yours and they come and go, oh, I'm glad you came. Uncle Joe's gone to be with Jesus. You want to come and look at him? But I thought you said he's gone. I mean, you know, where he lived is here. Uncle Joe's gone. See, when you see me and I see you, I don't see you. I see what you're living in. It's called a physical body. Now, the interesting thing about this, you were created for eternity, but God's going to fix it and fulfill what his intent was. So, physical. What about eternal? What about eternal death? Eternal death is found in Revelation, where he talks about it. I think it's 20-21, that the unrighteous are raised from the dead, and then they are judged and cast into the lake of fire. Listen, that is the second death. That means they are eternally separated from God. And you know what hell is? You know what hell is? The absence of God. There's no, the total void of God. God is not in hell in the sense that we're talking about. So we got the three: spiritual, physical, and eternal. So here comes Jesus. What's he going to do? He's going to restore us, and he's going to defeat death that came in the garden. And he's going to have to do it in all three levels. First of all, what about what the Scripture means in Hebrews 2:9, that he tasted death for everyone? In other words, whatever death sentence was on you and me, he tasted of it at the cross. And then it says, at the cross, let me just side issue. Isaiah 53:9, when it talks about the death of the Messiah, the word death there is plural. Deaths, meaning he died three, spiritually, physically, and eternally. Now, when I say spiritual death, don't go off in that other direction there, all right? But he had to die at the cross for all of us to redeem us and to defeat the powers of death that is on our trail, but you don't have to be afraid of it anymore. So, from what he's tasted death for us on the cross. Let me go back over it now. On the cross, spiritual death, Matthew 27. What did he say just before he died? My God, why have you forsaken me? He now is the scapegoat. Remember he's the scapegoat into the far country. He now is cut off, I think, spiritually. The other is in 2 Corinthians 5:21, eternal death. God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. God made Jesus sin. Did he sin? No. He was the sacrifice for us and died as us. So I will never, never, listen to me, if you love Jesus and you know him, eternal death is under your feet in the name of Jesus. Are you listening to me? If you love Jesus and you know him, spiritual death is under your feet. I once was dead, but I'm alive. You who were dead in your trespasses and sins, hath he quickened or made alive. So we are in Christ alive and having spiritual eternal death under our feet. Well, what about physical death? Well, on the cross, 6 hours Jesus hang on the cross. Six. I wonder why it wasn't five. I wonder why it wasn't four or eight or nine. I can tell you why. Because the number six is the number of man. So Jesus is dying for us as us at the cross. And you know that 6 hours later he died. But how can he die? Come on now. Think with me. How can he die? Because he was born by the Spirit through a human being. But he was immortal like the first Adam. There was no death in him. Come on now. There was no death in Jesus. So here he's hanging on the cross. How can Jesus die? I can tell you why. The Bible says that Jesus said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And he gave up his spirit. He willed himself to die. In his death, listen to me, in his death, he took care of spiritual death, eternal death, and physical death. Well, are you saying we're not going to die? Listen, This enemy called death is under his feet. And when he came to live in you, means you're going to live with him forever, somewhere. Now, it seems that he couldn't fix this old one because we still walk around looking like Adam. But I got the second Adam living in me. So have you. The second Adam lives in every believer. The second Adam is an eternal being. He is the Lord God Almighty. Right? And so when he died at the cross, what did they do with him? They put him in a tomb. But, come on now. Forgive me if I get excited about this. Because I touched this in my heart. When he said, it is finished. How many of you know he wasn't kidding? How many of you know God wasn't lying when he said, it's finished. I've taken care of spiritual, eternal, physical, eternal, and spiritual death. I've taken care of all three. Now, they're going to put me in a tomb. But hang around. Sunday's coming. Aren't you glad Sunday morning? Yeah. So let me tell you what I hope it's sanctified, but James says I have a sanctified imagination. I hope it is. Because I can see those that loved him, that were that. Can you imagine? June and I were privileged once to stand at Golgotha. We actually stood where they crucified Jesus. I wept because there is something of the anointing that's still there. So they put him in the tomb. Okay, fast forward, it's Sunday morning. Now, some of the Gospels say the two Marys, and some say there were some others with them. Doesn't matter. Let's just say there's some ladies. Some of the ladies are on their way early Sunday morning. And can you imagine? Now, can you imagine their conversation? I mean, I can, because when I read about those Emmaus believers, you remember? When Jesus walked up and they didn't know it was him, they... Boy, we sure thought he was the one. But, you know, they've crucified him. And, you know, they're walking on their lower lip because, I mean, he's... I can imagine the ladies walking saying, you know, I thought he was the one. I was sure that he was the one. Matter of fact, I believe he was, but I don't know what happened. And can you imagine... When they got to the tomb and the angel said, he says, this is Lauderdale English. Y'all looking for Jesus? He's not here. He has risen. That is a life-changing statement. Those ladies on the way heard the angel say, he's not here. He's risen. Didn't know, fast forward, that God would touch a young man and cause him to begin to sing a song like this. I thought he was. Go ahead, Jake, turn it up. I want you to hear that. It's an old song. But I want you to hear it. It's the testimony. He. Yes. Listen to it. So it was when they came to the angel. And the angel said, and you're looking for Jesus, but He's not here. He's risen. That was the nail in the coffin of death. Jesus overcame death. Hell and the grave. Let me give you a scripture. Revelation chapter 1, verse 18. I'll read it. I am He who lives. I was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. Watch this. And I have the keys of Hades, or hell, and death. Now let me tell you, and I've said this before. I believe when He said, it's finished, they put Him in the tomb. I believe in my sanctified imagination that the devil and every demon of hell was having a party in hell, in Hades. Because the one that had threatened them the most, death. They had been dogging humanity since the garden. But now, they're down there celebrating, we got Him. Oh yes, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the prophets, Jeremiah, they threatened, oh, but this one. There was never one like this one. But we've nailed Him to the cross. And I believe one of those little old impy demons come up to Satan and said, sir, I hear footsteps. Satan must have said, but it can't be. He's dead. Okay, sir. In a minute, sir, I hate to bring this up, but the steps are getting heavier. I don't know this. It's not in the Bible. Don't look for it. But I think it happened something like this. I believe Jesus walked to the gates of hell, kicked the door open, and walked over in the presence of Satan himself, and in the presence of God Almighty in human flesh was Jesus Christ. The devil had to bow his knee. And I believe Jesus, the Son of the living God, walked over and took from His girdle the keys of death, hell, and the grave. And on Sunday morning, When he came out, he said, here they are. I have defeated death. You no longer need to be afraid of what the devil is telling you about dying. Hallelujah. Well, no wonder they call it good news. It's the best news I ever heard. Jesus lived. He died and he lives. And then 40 days he goes back and takes his seat at the right hand of the Father and send the power of the Holy Spirit upon his bride, that through the power of the Spirit he could show them what it means to live and not be afraid to die. Not like to lay your head on the pillow at night and say, well, what if I don't wake up? Let me tell you, if I don't wake up in the morning, to be absent in the body is to be present with the Lord. Death has been defeated. Hallelujah. You know, when I'll just give you a snippet here. I got saved a long time ago. I fell under conviction when I was 5 years old. And so I was under conviction for 18 years. I got saved when I was 23. Death had dogged me all my life. I used to dread the time when I thought my mom and daddy would die. What would I do? Death dogged me because, listen, death and the fear of it produces torment in your life. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to want to die. I'm not afraid to die. Why? Because death is a defeated enemy. He who lives inside of you as a believer has overcome. To live is Christ, as I said, to die is gain. So I lived that way. I was 23 years old, and June and I in a little Methodist church, little white building stuck out in DeKalb County. After 18 years of conviction. That Sunday morning, the preacher said, if you'd like Jesus, would you come? Just a little old country boy, I didn't know nothing. But I knew one thing, I needed somebody bigger than me. I walked down that little Methodist altar, got over there on my knees and cried like a baby. And I looked over there and June was over here crying like a baby. Looked over here and her sister was over here crying like a baby. Can I tell you, within 5 minutes I stood up out of that Methodist altar. I couldn't explain it, but I felt like I had a bath on the inside and I wasn't afraid to die anymore. Hallelujah. That's what Jesus did to you. Since that day, I started singing another song. Want to hear it? Listen to it. You stay seated as long as you can. Yes. Blood of Christ. Give the Lord a God bless you for that, would you? Go ahead, finish it, brother. This is about Jesus. This is about His defeat of death. Since that day in that little Methodist church, I've not done it all right, but it changed our lives. I sat by my mom's bed, her twisted body with arthritis and pain, multiple surgeries she had experienced in her life, and I'm sitting by her bed. No woman on earth did I love more than my mom except my wife. I'm sitting by her bed and I said, Mama, there's nothing left here for you. Why don't you just go on home? The last word I ever heard my mama speak, this is what she said. I'm ready when he is. A few days passed and June and I with another couple were down to Montgomery in a meeting. Walked in the church where the meeting was. Secretary met me and said, Brother Doc, there's an emergency call for you. I knew without going to the phone. I go to the phone and I think it was Donna that had called. She said, Daddy, Mama's dying. They want you to come. I didn't have a thought. I heard a voice. That voice said, Son, if you stay today, why you came to this meeting, you will receive, but you will have part in her home going. I said, I'll stay. Stayed to the meeting. We were pulling out on the interstate. four of us. As we pull out on the interstate, I remember saying, Lord, just take her on home. When I got to where she used to live, of course, they were the community. People were there and some of the church folks. My sister came out on the porch. I said, what time did she leave? And they told me. It was right after I said what I said to the Lord. He let me have part in her home going. It hadn't been all that long ago that I stood by the bed. Donna happened to be with me. June was taking treatment. My sister, in awful condition. I said, don't you think it's time just to go on home? You know what she said? Amen. In a matter of hours, she was home. There was a young couple. Went to a storefront church. And she had a little boy. But she loved to quote Scripture. They said she just loved Scripture. And they get her to quote the 23rd Psalm. They loved it because she could quote it word for word. Well, the husband passed away for whatever reason, I don't know, leaving her behind to raise the little boy. She raised him in that little storefront church. Often they would say, Sister, would you come up? And she'd quote Scripture. The day came when the doctor said, we've done all we can do. It'll come for you. It'll come for me. But I don't have to be afraid of it. Wesley said, best of all, God's with us. The day came. The doctor said, that's all I can do. The son had grown up, married. Mama's laying in the bed dying. His wife is holding her hand and the son on the other side. He said, I'm watching Mama die. And I couldn't take it. I just couldn't take it. And I got up and I got down over and I said, Mama, let me ask you. You remember, Mama, when you'd quote Scripture in church? She went and shook her head. Is He as real now as He was then? She said, yes. Well, he sat back down and in a minute he saw her breathing get more shallow. So I got up again and I said, Mama, when you get down to the river to cross, if He's there, squeeze my hand. She went. His wife on one side, he on another. In a matter of minutes, he said, I looked across the bed and she breathed her last. And I looked at my wife and the tears were streaming down her face. And through those sobs, she said, she's squeezing my hand. I will never meet physical death alone. He will be there to escort me and you into the eternal realm. You can't buy that. You can't earn that. You can't educate that. But you can receive that. So that God has defeated death. And I can live on planet Earth without the fear of it. If I lay my head on a pillow tonight and I don't wake, and June calls you in the morning and said he died during the night, you can say, well, he's home. To live is Christ, to die is gain. I got a closing scripture and then we're going to pray. Don't even turn there. Let me read it to you. It's in 1 Corinthians 15. Just listen to it. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, Hades or hell, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. Oh, death, where is your sting? Grave, where is your victory? Hallelujah. The way God fixed it all is He fixed eternity for us so this immortal body could cease to be and we could be with Him forever as God intended for Adam. That is the gospel, and that is the story of God's defeat over death. How many are glad the tomb is empty? Amen. Come on, give the Lord a God bless you. Thank you, Lord. Well, I mean, what do I do now? Could we sing don't y'all love Andrew? I mean, isn't he just precious? You know that old hymn, "All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name"? Let angels prostrate fall, bring forth the royal diadem and crown Him Lord of all. Why don't we stand and let that be our benediction tonight? I hope I didn't put you on the spot. If you just sing part of it, that's all right. Sing it, church. May the Lord Jesus bless you. May He make His face shine on you. May He be gracious to you. May He lift up His countenance upon you. May He give you peace. May you tonight, any fear of death, if you're a believer, all of that be gone. In Jesus' name. Love you. God bless you. Thanks for being here tonight. Amen. Thank you, Andrew. Amen.